Join Kenneth Copeland and David Barton for a special Believer's Voice of Victory as they study God's Word about God's righteousness and influence in our nation. A timely message that will strengthen your thinking and encourage your heart.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get right into today's Bible lesson. Father, we just thank you. We give you praise and thanksgiving in the name of Jesus for your word. Oh, Lord, when all else fails, read the book. We thank you for it. We give you praise and honor, and we glorify your name today. In Jesus' name, amen. David Barton is here with us again this year, so you can tell it's getting close to election time, and David shows up. Praise God. We got a lot of things to talk about today. So would you join me in welcoming this man of God to this studio? Hey, David, thank you, sir.
Good to be back, bro.
I just can't tell you how much I appreciate your being a good steward and spending the time that it takes to dig and find out what's actually going on so that God has a voice that can open our eyes and open our ears to what's actually going on in our government and so forth. Yeah. So we can pray and be well informed. Mm-hmm. You know, Mark Twain one time said, the man that doesn't read the newspaper is uninformed, and the man that reads the newspaper is misinformed.
That's exactly.
Yeah. And there's a whole lot of that.
Yeah, that's right.
There's
way, a lot of truth there.
Way too much of it.
Yeah.
I can't fault the news media. Now, they're going to do what they're going to do. If they want to lie, lie. I mean, but I can fault me for believing it.
Believing it, that's right.
Without checking it out, just let them form an overall general idea about what's going on. And that's not good enough.
Yeah.
There's very, very deep and very precious things at stake.
Yeah.
Not only in this country, but around the world. So let's open our Bibles to the first chapter of the book of Isaiah. And anytime you're going to say anything, I don't care what it is. Well, now, Brother Copeland, now, you know, here's what I think about it. Well, based on what? Mm-hmm. What are you basing it on? Well, I don't know, but you know, I don't care what they said. I want to know first what God said, not what I think he said. I want to know what he said about specific issues.
Yeah.
And then start from there. So in the first chapter of the book of Isaiah, would you agree with me today that this country needs a good healing? I mean, it needs a purging from one end of it to the other. I heard somebody say one time about talking about the motion picture business, you know, and Hollywood and all that. And they said, I'm going to tell you something, Bo. Underneath all that phony tinsel, there's some real tinsel. Underneath all that phony government, you know, so... Yeah. But this deals with that right here. He says in the very first chapter of Isaiah, verse 24, therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the Almighty One of Israel, I will ease me of mine adversaries and avenge me of my enemies. I will turn my hand upon you and purely purge away your dross and take away all your tin. Now, dross and tin is trash.
Yeah.
It's not pure metals. It's the trash left over.
It's the thing that makes you impure. It's what keeps you from being pure.
Yeah.
And you get rid of that, you can be pure.
Yeah.
And that's
or
what you're after.
The tinsel.
That's right.
Real or fake.
Real
or fake. It's the tinsel. It's
that's
the
right.
trash. And I will restore your judges. Now, he starts off with the judges. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he doesn't start with the politicians. He starts with the judges. And your counselors, your lawyers, as at the beginning, afterward you shall be called the city of righteousness, a faithful city. So when you think about it a little bit, David, there's nobody's life that's not touched every day by judges. A judge somewhere.
That's right.
And judges, even those judges that are elected, most people don't know anything about them. You go in and look at a ballot, yeah. And there's ballots there about judge so-and-so and judge so-and-so, and you've been spending all your time listening to the news media yeah. about the president and about this one and that one and the other, and you don't have any idea who this is.
Yeah, and that's a key verse, because when you come to election time, Proverbs 14:34 says that righteousness exalts a nation. If you want the nation to prosper and do well, you got to vote for things that will promote righteousness, vote for things that will move righteousness forward. And economics is not on that list. Righteousness is. So it's not vote your pocketbook. It's vote righteousness. That verse tells you what creates righteousness in a nation. Judges. When you get the right kind of judges, you get God ties the righteousness of a nation to the type of judges in that nation. And what's really interesting about that verse is, of course, and I think a lot of people have forgotten this today, but that's the prophet Isaiah. And a prophet was a political person back mm-hmm. at that point in time. Mm-hmm. He's yeah. the guy that was the advisor to the king. He's like part of the king's cabinet, if you will. Even kings like Ahab that didn't like prophets wouldn't go to war without getting a prophet in there to counsel them on what they should do. And so when Ahab's sitting with Jehoshaphat, they won't go out to war until they get the Ahijah in to talk to him. So that's why throughout the scriptures you've always got the prophets interacting with the kings, because that's really a political office. So what you've got here is Israel is in a real downtime. It is full of dross. It is full of the tinsel, phony and real. And God's got to get rid of it. And God tells Isaiah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get this people back to me, and here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to give you the right kind of judges and the right kind of lawyers, and then you're going to be the nation of righteousness. And that was a tough task at that time, because Isaiah, the king over him, was Manasseh, the most wicked king in Judah's history. And God said, you know, as bad as you are, here's how I get you back. I'm going to focus on your judges. And if I give you the right kind of judges, then you're going to be a nation, a place of righteousness. You'll be a faithful city. And that should be our number one thing when we look at a presidential election is, I don't care what you're going to do with the war on terror. I don't care what you're going to do with the economy. I don't care what you're going to do with education. I don't care what you're going to do with the environment. I want to know what you're going to do with judges, because that affects the righteousness of the nation.
That's where you start.
That's where you start. That's the number one consideration when you go. Now, these candidates have put out about 40 different things on their platforms, and that's fine, but you have to have a paradigm by which you grade the priorities. There's got to be some things up top and some things at bottom. Not all things are equally important. Bible says judges go right up top. That is, if you want righteousness to exalt a nation. If you don't care about the dross and impurity and you like an impure nation,
you
know,
then,
David,
you can talk about reform until you change yeah. colors. But it doesn't do anything if you got the wrong judges on
that's
the bench,
exactly right.
Because they'll just laugh at you and throw it out the minute it gets challenged.
I've been involved in 7 cases, the U.S. Supreme Court, and they have all dealt with some form of us being able to express our values publicly. We had the case, can a kid be allowed to pray at a football game? Had the case, can a Jewish rabbi be allowed to say a prayer invocation at a graduation? Can you have 10 commandments where people can actually see them? I mean, these are the cases we got at the Supreme Court. And if you look at what we have in America on issues of righteousness, we have never in the history of this nation had a single legislature say that we want abortion on demand. Yet we have it in the nation. 50 million babies put to death. How'd that happen? Judges said that would be our policy. We've never had a legislature do that. We've never had a legislature say kids can't pray at a football game, but that's the national policy because the judges said that. We've never had a legislature say you can't have under God in the Pledge of Allegiance, but we've had judges. See, our whole, and that's just religious liberty issues. Military issues are now decided by the courts, and they shouldn't be. That's a congressional issue. Environmental issues, moral issues for sure, religious liberty issues, educational issues. The court says it is a super board of education for every school district in the nation. Well, I thought I elected my local school. But no, the Supreme Court gets the final say over education. All this stuff, if you don't get the right kind of judges, everything in education, everything in the economy, we got judges that have ordered tax increases on states when people voted them down. We have a number of elections that have been overturned by judges because they didn't like the result. You had Washington, New York said, we don't want physician-assisted suicides. And judges said, yes, you do. We've had states that said, we want marriage to be between a man and a woman. And judges said, no, you don't. So if you don't get a hold of judges, you will never get a hold of the nation or the culture of the nation. And that's why that's such a significant verse. And God knew that years ago, and we're still trying to figure it out now.
Well, you know, it makes me wonder, too, when you think about a judge that'll do something like that. Mm-hmm. He or she's not thinking right to start with.
Right.
Or they'd know better than
right.
that. So that makes me curious then, right off of the bat, mm-hmm. why are they doing that?
Yeah.
Is it just because they're a wrong or the uninformed thinker? Probably
yeah.
not.
Yeah.
But because those kind of judges have an agenda.
They do.
Now, either somebody bought that agenda.
Yeah.
Or, for some reason or other, they're convinced of that agenda.
Yep.
Well, the only thing that convinces people of those kind of agendas is either religion or
yeah.
some sort of political idea or ideology that's crosswise of what we're all trying
that's
to
right.
do.
That's exactly right. And, you know, you saying that reminded me of a Bible verse. Because there are so many direct verses in the Bible where God speaks to judges. And here's one, Psalms 2, 10 through 12. It says, "Be wise now, therefore, O ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, rejoice with trembling, kiss the Son, S-O-N, which I love out of the Old Testament that we've got, you know, the Son of God right there. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way, and his wrath be kindled against you." Judges, pay attention. Fear God. Honor his son, or he's going to get ticked off, and not only are you in trouble, but the whole country's in trouble. And I mean, God made that really clear for judges, and then you get judges who have no fear of God. Remember that parable in Luke 19
yeah.
with the judge
yeah,
who had no fear of God, you know, before his eyes, and you had to use other means to get a hold of it. We're supposed to be dealing with judges, and that's why Ezra 7:25 is so significant, because the scripture says specifically, appoint judges who know the laws of God. If you get the right kind of judges appointed, you don't have to go through agenda guys that have their own agenda. You know, Stephen Reinhardt out in the Ninth Circuit's got his own agenda. Every time we get, and that's why they keep choosing him on the other side, because he is happy to get under God out of the Pledge of Allegiance. He is happy to tell kids out there that you have to be instructed in Islamic religion. I mean, that Ninth Circuit is, what's going on out there is unbelievable. And you got guys with an agenda. And it's because we didn't appoint judges who knew the laws of God, and judges have not been trained to honor the Father, honor the Son, respect the Son, and give rulings that way. First Chronicles 19, 6 and 7, another direct command to judges, you don't rule for man, but you rule for God who's with you in judgment. Therefore, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Judges are a huge thing in the Bible, and that's why God puts such an emphasis on the qualification of judges. Now, in America, God has allowed us the opportunity to choose the people who choose the judges. And if we don't pay attention to what he said about judges, then it comes back on us. All this thing about honor the Father, or serve the Lord with fear and kiss the Son, honor the Son. I mean, that's instructions for us, because we're the ones that are screening the judges, because we screen the presidents that are going to appoint the judges.
Yeah.
It comes right back to us. So all this stuff, even though it's directed to judges, is really directed at voters. Because this is the way voters are supposed to be thinking about judges. And if we don't think that way, we won't expect that of the presidents that we're going to place in office.
I have no doubt or question in my mind that this issue that we're talking about right
yeah.
now is the reason God devised the form of government that was established here in this country.
Yeah.
So that the people
yeah.
would have something to say about who sat in court over them.
Yeah, that's right.
Because there's never been very many forms of government in this world that allowed people the choice of the judges.
See, one of the interesting things about back to the American Revolution, 11 years before we signed the Declaration of Independence, back in 1765, we had a movement going in America led by folks like Sam Adams, a founding father,
yeah.
that says, we've had it with British judges. They have lifetime appointments, and they're not accountable to the people, and they keep striking down all of our righteous laws. And so in the Declaration of Independence, when we separated from Great Britain, we had 27 clauses in there saying, here's why we're becoming an independent nation. Four of the 27
yeah.
dealt with this kind of stuff. This has been a big issue from the beginning, is you can't have judges allowed to run your life and make all your decisions for you. So we have ways of making them accountable. We have ways of choosing and electing. And it's interesting, too, that when you look back into Exodus 18:21, it tells you about electing your judges. It's an election of judges going on in Exodus 18:21, and it says you choose able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, men who will rule in the fear of God. That's the first qualification ever given for judges in the Scriptures. And that verse was cited time and time again by our founding fathers. We want judges like Exodus 18:21. We want guys who will rule and fear God, and we're not getting that from the British. And that comes back
to
us.
That phrase just jumped out at me. Men that hate covetousness.
That's right.
Well, I mean, that's easy to understand why you need somebody.
Especially in a position like that. Exactly right.
That hate covetousness.
That's right.
And hate it everywhere they see it. Well, those are the kind of things that protect you financially as a city government, as a county government, national government. David, let's talk about this while we still got a few minutes here, and then we'll take it up tomorrow. You cannot base decisions that affect your life. You can't base decisions that affect what you think. You can't make decisions about your business. You can't make decisions about what you eat. You can't make decisions about where you go to church or anything that affects your life based on the general idea that the news media creates to form thinking where you just go along and you just think, why do you say that? It is a way of thinking that gets created over a period of time that, for instance, if somebody were to stop nearly anybody on the street today and say, who do you think in the last several presidencies here? I mean, who do you think were responsible or was in office when more of our military casualties occurred, more military deaths and so forth? I mean, the general idea today, without even coming out and saying it, well, of course, it'd be George Bush.
That's right. Current President George Bush has killed more of our soldiers than anybody in history. We've been in 12 wars in American history. This is the lowest casualty rate we've had in any war.
In any war.
In any war.
And the one that that's right up there, bumping right up in the top of the list
right.
Nobody ever says anything about, which was Bill Clinton.
That's right. Almost the same number of soldiers killed in Bill Clinton's administration as killed in George W. Bush's administration. Bill Clinton was not at a time of war. We've been at war for 7 years. And the casualty rate in the military is almost
just
the same?
It's just right up there.
I don't think I've heard that on the news.
No, you haven't.
I've heard that George Bush has killed all of our young people, wasted the whole next generation. Almost the same as Bill Clinton, who didn't have a time of war, and we're in a time of war with the lowest casualty rate of any of our 12 major wars in American history. I don't think I've heard that in the news.
Tell all of us the figures on the civilian casualties.
Well, see, here's what people forget is the war on terror. And actually, this is phase two of America's war on terror, because we fought Muslim terrorists for 32 years in the American founding. We started fighting Muslim terrorists in 1784. We went through four presidencies, through James Madison in 1816. We had 32 years of war against Muslims in the beginning. Nobody ever talks about that. So Muslim terrorists were attacking Americans back then. Now, here's phase two of this. But it started back, really, in 1979.
Yeah.
American civilians started getting whacked by Islamic terrorists all over the world. And if you look at every 2 to 3 years, you know, we got the nightclub bombing in Berlin where all the Americans together.
Yeah.
They got the plane shot down over Scotland, 180. We got all these guys. We got all this going. And finally, 9/11 hits, and we got another 3,000 casualties dead and more than that wounded. And we said, you know, we've had enough of you guys attacking us not doing anything. You've been doing this for 35 years. So we attack. Since that point in time, 9/11, we've not had another civilian attack in 7 years. That's the longest we've been in decades without having civilians attack. Yeah, we have lost 4,000 American soldiers in that war on terror, but we've stopped losing civilians. And I travel to those bases. I love those guys. I'll go do virtually anything from the military. And those guys say, you know, we don't like getting killed, but that's our job. We're supposed to do this so that you guys don't get killed. And so what's shifted now is we don't have the innocent civilian attacks that we were having for 35 years prior to this war on terror. So we now, and the numbers have really been declining recently, so we're really winning this thing, but it's exactly where Thomas Jefferson was when he sent the same Marine troops to the same region of the world for the same purpose 200 years ago. So that's a side of the news we don't get because the news just doesn't like this war at all. Well, I like the fact that our civilians are more protected than they've been in 35 years.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
A whole bunch more.
And the figures are what, 10,000 civilians?
We had 10,000 civilians taken down prior to 9/11, or counting 9/11. 10,000 civilians taken down. Since then, not civilians. We've had 4,000 soldiers taken down.
But no civilians.
But no civilians. And what a change that is.
It is. That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
But now, but see, the point is, if all you do is just watch the news media and read the newspapers and talk at the office about it, you don't know that.
Well, you know, that's where we're told in Thessalonians you can believe a lie and be damned. I mean, this is if you believe what you hear on the media, and if it's wrong, and you act on what's wrong, you can believe a lie and be damned. You get bad results from believing bad reports.
Yeah.
And the media, I mean, we can talk about this tomorrow, but there's really clear studies on what the values of the media are and what they say their purpose is. And it's not what we think it is. It's not reporting the news. They have a purpose, declared purpose, of shaping the way people think on a value system that none of us agree with. And if we don't recognize that and we just take in what we see on the news, we're going to believe a lie and we'll pay the results for it.
My goodness sakes. There's another thing I'm going to talk about tomorrow, and I want you to prepare yourself because this is information tomorrow that you really do need. I want to get into the inner workings of the party platforms, mm-hmm. where they come from, yeah. who makes those decisions, and how committed and dedicated our candidates, particularly the presidential candidate and the congressional candidates. Mm-hmm. Now, for instance, like a local sheriff, whether he's Democrat or Republican, is not going to affect that office as deeply as it affects the president's office, mm-hmm. and because of the nature of the job.
Yeah.
But so we need to know this, and this is information that we're going to find out tomorrow. So don't go away, Brother David, and I'll be back in just a moment.
From its earliest moments as a fledgling union, and for decade upon decade, Americans recognize the Holy Bible as central to the shaping of a strong, enduring society. Today, this legacy of scriptural influence is under attack. So, Kenneth Copeland Ministries is pleased to present The Influence of the Bible on America. David Barton of Wall Builders hosts this 90-minute DVD that sets the record straight.
So in this program, we're going to see firsthand the historical records that categorically prove the Bible has directly affected the most important aspects of our culture.
This inspirational DVD is a must-have resource for believers around the world. Barton presents the words, pictures, and undeniable documents of America's moral and religious heritage. The Influence of the Bible on America is a roadmap for future greatness, not only for America, but for communities and nations around the world. Also included in the influence package is the book, The Bible, Voters, and the 2008 Election by David Barton, a simple and clear resource of scriptural answers to help biblical voters make informed biblical evaluations in their elections. Order the Influence Package today for $20 online at kcm.org or when you call 800-575-4455. Order this timely DVD and book package and begin walking in the authority and influence God has given you.
You got to have this. This is the Influence Package by David Barton. The Influence of the Bible on America. Now, give by now, if you're a regular on this broadcast, you've known David long enough to know there's not anything in here that's not Scripture. Yeah. It is based on thus saith the Lord. Yeah. So this is the influence that it's had on this nation, and you really, really do need to get hold of this and enjoy it and study it. This is good, strong study material, not just for you, but also for your family, children, and so forth. You need to spend some time. This is the DVD. I need to spend some time with that. Now, along with that, the Bible, voters, and the 2008 election. You've got time enough to get in here and go through this and know exactly what God expects of you and how He expects you to carry it out, and to see what you and I need to be doing, how we need to be praying, and the direction that we need to be taking where all of this is concerned. Not only just between now and the election, but after the election, you don't quit then. I mean, that's just when it gets started. Praise God. Amen. So, Father, we pray over these coming elections in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Your will be done. It is your will that is right, it is good, and it is for our prosperity and health and strong place in this earth. And we give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, November 4, you're going to have to vote. You get busy, get down there, and get it done. Praise God. Don't miss any day this week. We'll see you again tomorrow. Until then, this is Kenneth Copeland, David Barton, reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here to help you grow in faith, live a successful, fulfilled life, and to pray with you. Visit our website at kcm.org for more information. This is the year of the fullness of blessing, a time to receive the blessing without measure. In the midst of the noise the political process can bring, even some Christians face the question of voting and have a hard time seeing past what they think are gray areas. Some choose not to vote at all rather than risk voting for the wrong person. But if you lay your vote down, who comes behind you to pick it up? Some don't vote because with children it's just so difficult, while the people elected make decisions that affect those very same children. Some don't vote because they don't know the details of who they should or shouldn't vote for, but in the time it takes to drink a cup of coffee, they can find out exactly which candidates have the right views and make an educated decision. Finally, there are those who see it as a choice to walk in the light or lay down their vote in darkness. Let's walk together. Let's use our believing and our ballot to turn on the light. Watch. Pray. Vote.